You've heard the word of the Lord, the gospel lesson today, Matthew 5, verses 21 to 37. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. You've maybe seen some of the videos of floodwaters. One stuck in my mind this week. Just imagine you are out and about. You have to drive out there, even with all the warnings, to just get off the road. You know, roadbeds are covered. One foot can float your car, and a few feet of water and washing away. So, but you just have to be out, and you come to a railroad overpass. The road goes under, it narrows, and you can see the water just flowing through there. But there's a police officer waving everybody through. So you come up and, are you sure it's safe? You'll be fine. Go ahead. But just beyond sight and around the bend, the road is under several feet of water. You follow the directions, and now you're washing away with the rest of the crowd. Oh, that wouldn't happen. Maybe not on a road with a police officer, but you would call him a bad police officer, wouldn't you? Preachers? Telling people what they want to hear? Just waving them along the road? You'll be fine. You'll be okay. And they're around the bend. Aren't you glad that Jesus, the master preacher and teacher, never lies? Aren't you glad and grateful that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost? Because sometimes following our own hearts, and Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all else, who can understand it? Or following the directions of people we thought we could trust because they sounded good. And there you are, around the bend, floating away to destruction, lost with the crowd. What do you do? I'm so glad that Jesus died for me. I am so grateful to know that He is the light of the world. And He shines that bright light, especially today, as we're thinking about living in the light. He gives us in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, let's call them three lights for living. Three lights for living. We need them all. Not all of them make us comfortable. But then if you're out in a dangerous situation, you would really like to just be safe, wouldn't you? And certainly the darkness out there needs the Lord's light, and the darkness in here needs the Lord's light. And we are in that light with Christ. He who says, I am the light of the world, also says to us, you are the light of the world, to be a blessing. So, flashlight, check. What is it? I don't know. It's not a male or female thing. It's not a gender issue. I don't think it's an age issue either. Because boys and girls, kids of all ages, love flashlights, right? Apparently, I mean, just do a search. Used to be, remember how exciting it was when the mag light came out? All those D batteries just stacked up in there, you know, and you could focus that beam. Really cool. Another thing about the mag light, it was heavy enough to be a good club, you know. Out walking at night, might need it. Mag lights are still around, it's just that they've switched to a different type of bulb. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but flashlight, check. Apparently, we need one here when we come to the fifth commandment, because most people see the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, and figure, hey, I'm okay. Got that one. Haven't killed anybody lately. Yeah. Jesus says, wait. I tell you. Now, he's got to have a lot of authority to say that, doesn't he? He's got God's law through Moses to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Fifth commandment is repeated in the New Testament. You shall not murder. It's God's holy, immutable will for all time. But Jesus says, look closer. And take that flashlight on that narrow beam, because I tell you, whoever is angry at his brother or causes But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause will be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, that would be Aramaic. It was a derogatory term. It would be like us saying an airhead or a numbskull. Calling somebody that is in danger of the Sanhedrin. That was their high court, their supreme court. But whoever says, you fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Really? That bad? Yeah. Fool in the Bible isn't just somebody that's stupid. They may be very intelligent, but they're morally depraved. In the book of Proverbs, that's the lowest term that's there. It's people that, well, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. They may be scientists, they may be world-renowned speakers, but they deny God? The Bible calls them fools. You can't get lower than that. You call somebody that, he says, you're in danger. Apparently, hell is a real place too, with real fire. Because you're in danger of the fire of hell, we're calling somebody a fool. Flashlight? Check. Apparently, the Lord loves you more than he loves your money. Did you catch that? Pretty awesome. So if you are about to offer your gift at the altar, there remember your brother has something against you. Leave it. Go. Be reconciled to your brother first, then come and offer your gift. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. It's all a ministry of reconciliation to bring sinners like us who have certainly been angry with others without a reason, to bring sinners like us to the cross of Jesus Christ and there find forgiveness full and free. So merciful. Be reconciled to your brother. And then he says, if anyone accuses you, agree quickly. So he's not talking about, you know, holding grudges and letting that go on. He's saying quickly agree. The prison that he talks about here, we don't have the debtor's prison to the same extent, but it certainly applies in legal matters. Why let it escalate until it's got the lawyers involved? Maybe just walking over to talk to the neighbor would solve the issue, right? You've tried that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's the Lord's way, if you can possibly do it. And there is another prison to be thrown into, too. And I believe that the Lord is putting the flashlight spotlight on that here, that narrow beam to reconcile quickly. Husbands and wives, we can let things go too long. Reconcile quickly, even if it means losing a little sleep at night. Reconcile. Come to the cross. Sometimes there's a prison of guilt that we argue ourselves into, and the only way out of that prison is on your knees, one at a time, through the door, which is Jesus Christ. It really becomes a personal matter of going back to the Lord with apologies for my sin and praying for spouse. That's the Lord's way. Quickly, don't let it go. Deal with those things. Spotlight, but flashlight first. Flashlight, check. You've heard that, there's another one here. Everybody changed their fluorescents out in the garage in the basement. Fluorescent tubes, those were a big deal, weren't they? And then they got smaller and smaller, thinner and thinner. Great stuff, right? Just found out recently, most of you probably knew this a long time ago, they get more dim as time goes on. But if you look at the ER and the OR, where some of you are busy saving lives these days, they're a lot brighter than they used to be, aren't they? They switched all those lights out. All LED now. I think it's kind of humorous as our culture has gotten more and more concerned about the planet and losing all the electricity and all the ways that we waste energy. And here the Lord gives us this invention of the LED, which is so much more light and so much less power. Those work lights that used to be so hot and if they'd tip over, they'd break. Remember, those were really big stuff because they were so bright. The LEDs can go for hours and they're still burning cool. Neat stuff. And it's God's Word that you have that bright light for an operation that none of us would like to have. This is really getting personal. Right where Jesus works, right on your soul and your heart, every aspect of your life and mine. You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, Son of God, I tell you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now we've got the internet. Statistically, it's not just men who are falling into sin on those sites where we ought never go. Women are too. It's ruining families. It's ruining souls. Bait. Click. Eyes filled with filth that can destroy your soul. And I am so glad for Jesus, who knows exactly what's going on. He knows all the technology today. He knew it from all eternity, like we're such big stuff. And he knows how to direct us back to that which is healthy and wholesome so that we don't destroy our souls. He wants us to look at Jesus and remember passages like in Isaiah. I love that one. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Is it too late? Never. While there's life, there's hope. If you are finding that that sin is especially difficult for you, then find a way to confess it, get help, and put the guards on your computer that will keep you away. Because it's insidious how it's out there and where it's all over the place. You don't need me to tell you that. And just one click. Lord, help us. Help us in this day. I am helping you. Listen to my word. Stay close. LED. Check. And then the surgery. Your right eye, right hand, gouge it out, cut it off if you're falling into sin because of it. 2,000 years of New Testament history, I don't know of a single incident where one of Jesus' disciples gouged out an eye or cut off a hand. Bible critics, oh, they get into that stuff, but little children could understand this, and God's people know. He's talking about amputating sin from your life. Apparently, heaven is so awesome and hell so dreadful that body parts are not as valuable as peace with God and the love of Christ. In fact, Jesus loves you and loves your body so much as the temple of the Holy Spirit, where he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell, that he sacrificed his own body for the sins of this one, for the sins of all. He who died for all, died for you, and thank God he even died for me. Awesome. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. While there is life, there is hope. Jesus says also something that is so kind in matters of divorce. The translation here is being very careful to put this in context as the Greek New Testament has it. I just want to read a similar verse from 1 John 1, verse 7, first epistle of John. It says, if we walk in the light just as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Recognizing that we are all sinners, but walking in the light together, having fellowship, this common union, the koinonia with God and the fellowship with one another. What a beautiful recipe for any relationship, churches too, but husband and wife likewise. But there will be those who, as one confessed, Pastor, I know I could not have done anything to keep my ex from divorcing me, but it hurts. It's a shame. And the old prophet Malachi says God hates divorce because it's violence. Unfortunately, there are preachers and churches which pile that on top of more grief and more grief on that by telling the victim responsibilities that are not in the scripture. Here the Lord's pretty explicit, but there is kindness here for the victim of divorce and warnings for those who want to take it lightly. Let me read it again. It's Matthew 5, 31 and 32. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. They asked Jesus about that in another place, you know, trying to quote Moses against Jesus. And Jesus says, Moses was working with you with your hard hearts out there in the wilderness. It wasn't God's will. It's just that people, Jews in the wilderness, 40 years with Moses, they didn't know who was married to who. They had to have a certificate that said there were kids involved, there were people who needed support and so forth, but the certificate of divorce was not a command, it was a concession according to the law of Moses. Jesus here says, I tell you that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality causes her to be regarded as an adulteress. That's that shame. She doesn't deserve that. Except, there's the exception here for sexual immorality, cheating on the spouse. There's another place where it says, except for desertion, malicious desertion, we call that. And then also, whoever marries a divorced woman is regarded as an adulterer. Not the Lord's way to despise marriage like that. We can say what we want about where our society has gone. I firmly believe that it started in the churches. And we go soft on divorce and don't recognize it for what it is. And yet every day is a new day. Can I be forgiven? Yes. It's not the unforgivable sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You come in repentance, you find forgiveness, and the grief can be healed. LED, check. Again, you have heard that it was said to those long ago to not break your oaths, fulfill your vows to the Lord. Just take a picture here, because this is from James chapter 2, verse 10, where people don't realize that if you break part of God's law, you've broken all of it. He says in James 2:10, this is Jesus' brother speaking, stepbrother or half-brother, if you keep the whole law, if a man keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point, he's guilty of breaking all of it. It's not a hard concept if you think about, again, that water in front of your vehicle, and you figure, okay, I can get across there, and you get 20 feet across, but then 5 feet from the other side, you're into deep water, and you start floating away. Does it really matter whether it's the last 5 feet or the first 5 feet? You're going. You're gone. That's it. That's God's law. Break part of it, break all of it. So we don't want to try to justify ourselves with God's law, and here he's turning on the spotlight for us, because preachers and people alike need to have God strip away this self-righteousness where we could listen to a sermon like this and get to the end and still think we're doing okay. It's a bright light. Now it's a spotlight meant to make us see our sin. They tried to test Jesus. You remember that from John chapter 8? They're going to expose him legally. According to Moses' law, and they've got this all down, at least part of it, they bring a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. This is the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders at the time. Ignoring the fact that if you go back to Leviticus, where this is given in the law of Moses, it speaks specifically about the man that's involved. He's nowhere to be found in this story. Just have the woman there. If you wonder why there are people critical of the Bible sometimes, well, there are people in the Bible that the Bible is being critical to. You know that. Every example doesn't mean it's one to follow. And this is certainly Jesus being tested. They want to make him in an illegal situation, because if he says, follow Moses' law and execute her, he's broken Roman law, the conquerors. And if he excuses her, then he's broken Jewish law. They got him, right? It's almost comical if it wasn't so despicable. This is the Word of God incarnate. This is the eternal God. He sees right through it. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Remember that? Okay. Go ahead. You follow Moses' law, which was death by stoning. It was a capital crime under Moses' law. Adultery was. Then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. This is John chapter 8, the early verses. When they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the older men. Jesus was left alone with the woman in the center. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Don't you love how Jesus can be so forgiving and kind and then help us down the road too with safety? This is coming back to what we call the third use of the law, where it's a guide for thankful living, and he's telling her how she can now say thanks to God that he didn't condemn her. Nor did he excuse her sin. Nor will he excuse ours, as he's spotlighting that self-righteous heart that constantly wants to make excuses for ourselves and not go back to the Lord in repentance. He says with the swearing, "I tell you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, not by earth, not by Jerusalem." Jesus' brother James says the same thing, James 5, verse 12. He speaks about, it's almost like he's echoing Jesus here as the apostles did, speaking by the same Holy Spirit. "Above all," James writes, "my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you do not fall under judgment." And Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatever goes beyond these is from the evil one." Can any of us get by this? And isn't that the point? That you and I see ourselves in every one of the commandments as breaking them, and then run back to the cross of Jesus Christ where his blood was shed to wash away all our sins and make us clean and holy in God's sight. You wonder how David in the Psalms, after he committed murder and adultery, could say, "I am righteous in your sight." That's how, in your sight. And it is God's glory to judge sinners as forgiven and guilt-free because of his own Son. People will argue with that. People will question it, say all manner of things against Jesus, God's own Son. But that's God's glory in sending his Son. And we heard that in one of the readings today, that God wanted us to share in that glory. You come into the light of Christ for his forgiveness and God's grace, and every day is a new day, and it's never too late to turn back to Jesus. And he says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." You come in forgiveness and peace, and on this day of grace, leave your burdens at the altar of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if anything comes back to you from this sermon and you want to talk about it, give me a call, or Pastor Gavrish or one of the elders. Let us share with you God's grace on whatever it is that troubles you, because his grace is full and free for you and even for me. That's the light. Shine. Amen.